Let's begin reading in John chapter 3. Thank you all for coming tonight. What a privilege it is for me to share God's word with us. I'm just a voice, but I get to do this, and I love the message from God's word. All right, John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I'm telling you the truth. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So there's a physical birth that everybody has. And then it says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's a spiritual birth that everybody must have. And we're not born with that, but we need to have it. So that's a being born again, and that's a spiritual birth. And then he says in verse 7, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we have to be in God's word. We thank you for the good crowd and for each individual that came. And we ask you, Lord, to save souls tonight, maybe open eyes of others, draw men to yourself, and Lord, build us all. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I've never had a baby, but I have seen three babies born. They call me Dad. And I was the kind of man that wanted to be in the room when the kids were being born. So I had to take Lamaze, and we did all those breathing exercises. We did the whoosh, 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 whoosh. All right, let's all do that. Ready? There, you're ready to have a baby. Now, I took it very seriously because I wanted to be a help when my children were in there being born, and I didn't want to make my wife hyperventilate. So I took it very seriously because I wanted to be a help and not get in the way. Now, when I was thinking about my children being born, that was a very serious thing to me. But when I look at the subject of tonight's message, it's a spiritual birth, and I take this even more seriously. Because if you mess up when it comes to child being born, that child could die. And that would be tragic. That would be painful. That would be horrible. But if you mess up when it comes to talking about religion and the way to have eternal life, that's not just going to cost us our physical life, but it will cost us our eternal souls. And so what we're looking at tonight is even more serious than the day that we were all born. We all have to be spiritually born. And there are three times in this passage that Jesus said to the spiritual man, from a human perspective, you, though you're spiritual, must be born again for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I asked a preacher one time years ago when I was being taught, how many people go to church but probably aren't really going to heaven? And I expected him to sit there and think a little bit, but very quickly he responded, at least 30 to 50%. There was another preacher named Charles Spurgeon years ago was asked the same question, how many people that go to church are probably not going to heaven? He quickly said, I think 85%. And he was called the Prince of Preachers. Now, these men are not God, but when you take a look at what is being taught in religious circles and even what's going on in churches that even teach it right, but you watch the people and the way that they live and the way that they think and what they live for. I think it's really true that there are a high number of people that are religious but aren't going to heaven. And three times Jesus said, in order for a man or woman to get to heaven and enter into the kingdom of God, he's got to be born again. And this is a serious matter for all of us. And again, it's more serious than our physical birthday. I'm not just trying to be clever. It is. You and I all know that we're not going to live forever on earth. I know that some of you think that friends that you know are already living in Mars. But no. With all kidding aside, you and I all know that we're not going to live forever on this earth. And when we die, if the Bible is right, there's a heaven and there's a hell, and the Bible's right. And with that in mind, God wanting us in heaven and God wanting Nicodemus in heaven said three times, not just once, three times, so we get it. So there'd be no argument. And there still is no argument. In order for you to get to heaven, you're not going to get there just because you're Catholic, just because you're Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, or good. You have to, and I have to, we all have to, be born again. That's what he said. And I, for one, am going to believe Jesus. And so we all should, because this is what he requires. And so we want to talk to us this first night. I want to talk to us about being born again. Are you a religious person but not really on your way to heaven? Are you a member of this church but not truly on your way to heaven? And I promise you, if you will evaluate your life and the Word of God and the message from the Word, you'll know if you're one that's religious but not going to heaven, and you can fix it. Now, the first thing we're going to look at is the explanation of new birth. What really is being born again? All right, just like there's a time when you're born physically, for me it was June 5th, 1965. I'm 52, almost 53. Just like there's a date that you were born physically and it was a literal birth, there is a literal spiritual birth that takes place in the lives of those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. It's called new birth. It's called being born again. It's not pretending to be born. You literally are born again. It's not tacking on a little religion. There is a spiritual birth that takes place inside of a person. Just as literally as his physical birthday, there's a literal spiritual birth that takes place. Now, question, do you think that we are just a hunk of flesh walking around with blood vessels, eyeballs, and brain matter? Or are we people? Are we souls? Well, just the very fact that you're more than just a hunk of matter and flesh walking around, that you think, you love, you have emotion, shows that there is a spirit side of people, a soul inside people. And when we say you've got to be born again spiritually, why should we think it's superficial? Or why would we think it's symbolic? Because we are spiritual beings. And we've got to have a spiritual birth if we're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. This is what he said three times. Now, it's described in the book of Ephesians as getting a new nature and becoming a new creation. All right, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says this concept of getting a new nature. It says, and you hath he quickened or made alive. You were dead. Physically you had life, but spiritually you were dead. I was born June 5th, 1965, and physically I then had life. But I was born alive physically, but I was born spiritually dead, and so were you. Think of your birthday, that's your physical birth. On that day, everyone was glad that you were born, but they didn't think, perhaps, that you had a physical birth, but spiritually, you were born dead. And the moment that you were born with a need of being born spiritually, if you'd ever get into the kingdom of heaven. Now, it says in verse 1, you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then it describes that you get a new nature in verse 2 and 3. Wherein in time past, this is before you're spiritually born, you walk according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the influence of Satan. The spirit that now worketh under the children of disobedience, among them also we all had our behavior, conversation in time past. In the lust of our flesh, we just live for sin. We live for just fleshly things, not spiritual things. And desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, there's the key, children of wrath. Now, it is the nature of an unsaved person to be a certain way. He is spiritually dead. That doesn't mean he's always mean. That doesn't mean he always sins. That means he never does anything good. Doesn't mean that. It just means he's got a certain nature, an unsaved man's nature. But when you get born again, you get a new nature and you become a new creation in Jesus Christ. We were by nature children of wrath, but then we become those who are born again with the nature of a Christian. Notice what it says in verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now notice it says that God works in us and makes something that wasn't there before. We are his workmanship. And then he says this, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Do you see that? Now, if it's created, that means it didn't exist before, right? And when somebody gets born again, you get created in righteousness and unto good works. Now, the illustration is this. You can take a computer, take the case off, and you can put the computer processor change the processor and the hard drive and all of the inside, and then you put the outside back on. Now, it looks like the same machine, but it's a different machine. Now, when you get saved, if you're ugly before you're saved, you're ugly after you get saved. So the outside doesn't change, but the new inside does change. And that's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And there is a life in you that didn't exist before. Now, a worm will go up a tree and make a cocoon. And God will do a miracle, and it will come out a butterfly. Now, when it comes out, it doesn't tack wings on. It doesn't glue them on. It has wings. It doesn't paint pretty colors on. It has pretty colors. It is a metamorphosis, a transformation. And when somebody truly gets born again, it's not tacking on good deeds. There's a radical transformation of the soul of that man. Now, it's like this. You can take a pig as an illustration, and you can wash the pig, and you can clean the pig, and you can put a bow around its neck, and you can spray perfume on the pig, and you say, now, pig, you're pretty. You've got a pretty bow. You're clean. And now you smell very pretty. And you don't like mud anymore. You're a new pig. And then you let that pig go, it's going to go right to the mud. Now you say, you stupid pig, I told you you don't like mud anymore. What's the matter with you, you rebellious pig? If the pig could talk, he would simply say, I know you tell me that I don't like mud anymore, but I'm sorry, I like it. Now, why does the pig like the mud? It's not he's rebellious. It's not he is a rebel. It's that's his nature. And when somebody gets born again, it's sort of like this. It's like God puts the nature of a kitty cat inside the pig. In other words, where it used to like mud, now it's always wanting to be clean. And when you get born again, you become different than what you were before. That's what spiritual birth is. A life exists that did not exist before. Now, if you have never been changed, then you have never been born again. There are many people that will pray a prayer, but there's never been a change. And a faith that has not changed your life has not saved your soul. Because that is what being born again is. You get a spiritual life that did not exist, and you get a new nature. Now, with that in mind, understanding that it's more than tacking on a little religion and also understanding how important it is that you've got to be born again or you can't get to heaven, then let's do this secondly. Let's examine ourselves to see if we've been born again. Now, is it biblical to examine yourself as a Baptist, as a Catholic, as a Lutheran, as a religious person? Absolutely. How do we know? We're told to do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, examine yourself to see whether you be of the faith. Prove your own selves. So it's a right thing to do, and it's important to do. Why? Because we could go through our whole life thinking we're okay because we're whatever religion. But unless we're truly born again, it isn't going to count. And what a horrible thing to go through life and wake up and die and go to hell and spend an eternity there. And Jesus wants us to be born again, so the Word of God says, examine yourself. And that's what we're going to do. Now, what is the biggest evidence that you truly are born again? Change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. That's why we say, a faith that doesn't change your life does not save your soul. Now, one thing that will change if you're truly born again, and this is a fear that I have for a lot of young people that are in our churches. If you're changed and you're truly born again, it'll change the way that you think. Now, one of the concerns is if you don't think like a pig, you probably aren't a pig. If you don't think like a dog, you probably aren't a dog. And if you don't think like a Christian, you probably aren't a Christian. It's natural to think according to what you are. Now, in this, the Bible talks about when somebody's born again, that he'll think differently. Now, one of the first evidences, and main one I'm going to hit, is the way that you think about spiritual things. All right, 1 Corinthians 1:18. You can look at it or you can listen. It says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, it's the power of God to salvation. Now, what do you think about the spiritual things? What do you think about somebody who is spiritual? Do you think that they're odd? Do you think that they're over the top? Do you think that they're a little bit overdoing it? Do you think them to be strange? Do you think them to be perhaps a little foolish? All right, now don't be upset with me. I'm preaching it to help. And you can examine yourself to see whether you be of the faith. And then if you're not, you could do something about it when I tell you how. The goal is not to make us feel bad. The goal is that we are born again because we've got to get to heaven. And the only way of it is to be born again. Now, what do you think about somebody who is a good Christian? Do you think, as I mentioned, they're odd, they're over the top, they're being a little foolish? Let me tell you why. Don't be mad. If you think that they're over the top and a little foolish, there's only one reason. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And if you think that somebody is crazy because they're dedicated to the Lord, it's an indication that you think that way and it's not your fault, it's your nature. That means you've never been born again. I remember one time when I was preaching in Florida, it was a rather large church so that they had a balcony. And they had a Christian school, and there were kids that had been born in that church, went to kindergarten, pre-kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, all the way through 12th grade, and they had heard it all the time. And you know what they were constantly trying to do? Get away from it. Get away from it. And I'd say things like, hey, young people, why don't you sit a little closer to the front? Not saying any of you that are sitting toward the back aren't interested in God, but I'd say, why don't you sit a little closer? They didn't want anything to do with it. And so in the balcony, they're up there as far away as they could possibly get, And while we're singing a song from the hymn book, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me, they're up there mocking it the entire time. And they're mocking everything about the service, but you ask them, are you saved? Oh, I'm saved, I'm fine. Then why is it that everything that is spiritual seems to be foolish to them? And I'll tell you why. It's because I don't care how many times they say they're fine, they don't have a new nature. They're not born again. And the sad thing is, if they don't recognize it and truly become born again, they're going to miss heaven. Now, have you ever heard somebody make fun of spiritual things? Have you ever seen somebody trying to get away from it all the time? If your nature is trying to get away from it all the time, it's an indication for you that you probably do not have the new nature, and thus you do not have eternal life. You don't get to heaven by going to church. You get to heaven by being born again. But if you are born again, you will like the things of God. Now, the second thing that you can examine yourself is to see if there is a change in your emotions. Now, 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, some people say that that's talking about a backslidden Christian. I believe it's talking about an evidence of salvation. 1 John 5:13, these things in the book of 1 John are written that you may know that you have eternal life. And you can examine yourself and see if you love the world or if you love the things of God. If you love the things of the world over the things of God, the love of the Father is not in you, and I think it's an evidence you've never been born again. Now, Billy Sunday years ago was preaching, and he had a man come up to him after he preached. And he said, Billy Sunday, every time you preach, it's like you rub the fur backwards on a cat. Now, how many of you have ever rubbed the fur backwards on a cat before just for fun? Be honest. Come on, hold them up high. You're sick people. Now, when you rub the fur backwards on a cat, what does it do? It goes like this. It goes. And it doesn't like it. And you know what Billy Sunday said? If every time I preach, I rub the fur backwards on a cat, tell the cat to turn around. Now, follow me. Some of you, and don't be offended, listen to the word of God. Some of you, every time that your parents try to get you to go to church, it rubs you the wrong way. And if every time your parents try to get you to go to church, it rubs you the wrong way, what's that indicate to you? You've never turned around. And the scary thing is, you could be one of those people who said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and then while I profess in them, don't get mad at me, hear me for your sake. I never knew you. And you know what, when it says, Lord, Lord, here's what I get from that. They're praying, Lord Jesus, I make you my Lord. They could add, come into my heart, I make you my Lord. And they said, I make you my Lord, but they did not. And you do not get to heaven just with your mouth. You get to heaven when your heart is behind your mouth. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And the fear is, there are many people that say they're born again, but they've got no vital signs. Now, when my children were born, I'll be honest, the first thing I was doing was looking for, I hope they're not ugly. But then I got a little more mature and I thought, well, I hope they're alive. And then I started looking for any kind of sign that they were alive. I'm looking for, is the nurse going, oh, or, oh. Am I looking for, is there any crying? I'm looking for, are the fingers moving? Is the kid crying? And is the baby alive? Are there brain waves? Is there a heartbeat? And I tell you what, I look at people all the time, not to be judgmental, but I take seriously the message and what should be proclaimed. And when I look at people that don't want to be in church, but want to get away from it, don't want a spiritual person around, but want to get away from them, when they're being spiritual. Don't want the Bible. Don't want Christianity. But they say, I'm saved. I have a concern because there is no pulse. And if there is no heart, then I say there is no life. And it's a concern because there are many who preach and even prophesy in Christ's name and claim to have prayed, Lord, Lord, but they will split hell wide open because they made a false profession. Now, you can make a false profession. And I'm not trying to make you, if you are truly born again and you mess up a little bit, feel like you're not born again, but I ask you to examine yourself. Now, what's your nature? Now, you take a pig and you take him out of the mud and you clean him up and you say to the pig, you don't like mud. You let him go, he goes to the mud. You say, you stupid pig. I told you, you don't like any mud anymore. And if the pig could talk, he'd say, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be rebellious, but I like it. And you know what we do? Sometimes we say to a teenager, listen, you don't want sin. You don't want that life. You don't want those kind of wicked movies. You don't want the beer parties. You don't want the immorality. You're a Christian. You don't want that stuff. You don't want that wrong kind of music. And you know what? If the teen could talk without everybody jumping down their throat, they'd say, I know you tell me that I don't like it, but I'm sorry, I do. Now, if they do, or if you do, let me tell you why. Don't get mad. It's not your fault. It's your nature. And it's just evidence that you never got the real thing. And honestly, when you get born again, you'll sin, but you won't enjoy it. You'll sin. You will enjoy it for a season, but you won't be able to stay there because you'll feel filthy and you'll feel wrong and you'll feel guilt and the Holy Spirit will not let you continue in sin. Now, I enjoy youth activities and sometimes we've done tug of war over the mud and we've done volleyball in the mud. And though I might like to throw somebody in the mud pit, I might enjoy wrestling with somebody in a mud pit. I'm not like a pig that I enjoy being in the mud 24 hours a day. And if you're somebody that you're more comfortable in the sin than you are in the church, there's an evidence that you don't have the nature of a Christian. Now, except a man be born again, he cannot in any way enter the kingdom of heaven. That's why it's important not to just make you see, well, I don't think like a Christian. Spiritual things are a little foolish to me. I don't have the nature of a Christian. I don't love the things of God. I love the things of the world. These are evidences for you to examine yourself and do something about it, and I'll tell you how in a little bit, but you've got to see your need before you can ever deal with it. All right, now first you need to see. You've got to be born again. Secondly, you've got to see, do you have evidence you're born again? And here's the third evidence. There'll be a change in the way you think, a change in the things you love. And then number three, there'll be a change in the lifestyle you choose. Now, this is your will. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, it's right near the end of the Bible, near Revelation. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, then Jude, then at Revelation. But 1 John chapter 3, and I want you to notice verse 6 and following, and then we're going to look at one other passage, and then we'll move to the final point. And now 1 John 3 and verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. Is it possible to be deceived? Yes, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, God, is righteous. But he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the work of the devil. Make you a new person. Make you do right instead of wrong. Now notice verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, born again, doth not commit sin, For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Verse 10. In this evidence, they cannot commit sin. In this evidence, the children of God are manifest or made known, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, is not born of God, is not going to heaven, is not born of the Spirit. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, when you look at this, it's very clear in one sense. It's a little foggy in another that I'll explain. Now, it's very clear in this sense. If you're the child of God, you're not going to commit sin. It's vague in this sense. What's it mean to commit sin? All right, the word commit is in the linear tense, which means habitual lifestyle. And it is saying if a person is truly born again, he's not going to habitually live a life of sin. It does mean he'll never sin, but he won't be comfortable in it, and he cannot because he has the Holy Spirit in him. He has the seed of the new nature, and he will not habitually live a life of sin. Now, there are many people that claim to be saved, but they're habitually living a life of sin. Now, he goes into more details in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 6, a little more specific sins that men commit and women commit. They claim to be born again, but are not born again. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, and examine yourself. Now, if we read a verse tonight, it's got a sin that you've been involved in, just remember something. I don't know you. And so I don't know what you're doing, and nobody's told me about anybody in this room. So don't think that I'm reading it because I know you're here. I don't. And what I'm telling you is this. If it's in here, it's God's love reaching out to you to tell you you are in need. What would be better, for you to never know that you're on your way to hell or to hear you're on your way to hell so you can fix it? That's better. So look at what God's word says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Don't be deceived. You can think you're okay, but don't you dare, don't let yourself be deceived by the devil. You could be deceived and end up in hell, is what he's warning. Right, don't be deceived. See who you are, see what you really are, and then fix it. Because you can, and you have to get to heaven. Now here's what he says, be not deceived, don't get tricked. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, or homosexual. Sorry, be not deceived. Doesn't matter who says it's acceptable, God says that'll put you in hell. Not being mean, it's just right. Politics can change what their opinion is. Even religious leaders can say they say something different, so it's okay, they've determined. But the word of God stands and says it'll send a person to hell. And that's not okay to say it's acceptable when it makes people suffer forever. That's not good. Fix it. With God, it can be fixed. When you become a new creature, it can be fixed. And it goes on and it says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. Are you a man that every weekend you just look so forward to getting with your buddies after work and hitting the bar? Well, I'm saved. I'm okay. Don't get mad. See who you are. And see the intent of God's word putting it in there. Not to make you feel like a loser, but to keep you from being tricked and wind up in hell. And here's what it says. You can be deceived and you can think as somebody who is a fornicator, you can be a Christian and live in fornication and God will let you into heaven. God's word says, no, he won't. Now, if you have had a fornication, sex out of marriage, all right, you know it. Maybe others do, maybe others don't, but you do. You know it. Now you can say, well, I just backslid. Wait a minute. Is that the devil tricking you into hell? Might be. No. I used to teach Sunday school. Wait a minute. Is that the devil tricking you into burning in hell? How's he going to get you into hell? Trick you. And he says, be not deceived. Don't kid yourselves. Fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to take it as it's written. I'm not going to say, well, it couldn't mean that because so many Christians have fornicated. If everyone in the world prays to Allah, it ain't going to get one of them into heaven. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way. And if every quote-unquote Christian is a fornicator, that still will disqualify them. They never were truly a Christian. Now hear me. Just like when we look at 1 John, it says, in the original language, though I'm not a Greek scholar, I think the Bible's fine, we don't need necessarily to, but sometimes it's good to understand what the word is talking about here as well is habitual lifestyle. Now, if you're a Christian, you could fall in and go in and choose to get into fornication, but you won't stay there long because you won't be comfortable. The Holy Spirit will say it's not right. And I would just say this. If I have been in fornication once and I got right with God, I felt horrible about it. If I slipped into it and I gave in and I did it twice and I felt horrible about it, I'd say, okay, it's possible. But if I was living in fornication, knowing every day of my life I was disobeying a command of God, and it was perfectly okay with me, I would begin to wonder if I'm one who is deceived. And I would not want to go to hell being deceived. I'd repent. Now it goes on and it says adulterers. Now hear me. There are some of you that are maybe here tonight even, and maybe you're living with somebody you're not married to. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter if you say, well, we're married in my mind. God's word says the marriage bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Now, if the Holy Spirit of God convicts you, and he will. Now, sometimes it takes a little time. But if he convicts you and you see it, you know what you need to do if you're born again? You need to realize you'll never fully be happy till you just go ahead and obey God and get married. And you know what you'll find? If you say, well, I know the Bible says that, but we're okay. We just consider ourselves married. God doesn't consider you married until you're married. And you know what, folks? If you can go on and you say, well, I'm perfectly fine with it. I'm perfectly okay with it. After the Holy Spirit's confronted you and you say, well, it's good. I'm good. It's fine with me. You are not born again because you could not be doing that and feel comfortable in it. And it's not to make you feel bad, it's to ask you, do you feel comfortable in it? And if you do, then you have the nature of an unsaved person. If you feel convicted about it and you want to change it, then you probably have the nature of a Christian. But you cannot be this way without conviction. And when you're in it and it doesn't bother you, don't get mad. Understand. It's a matter of, hey, let's see, because you don't want to be deceived by the devil. Instead, repent. Fix it. Now, it goes on and it says drunkards. Now, men, if you go to the bar, it doesn't make you a man. If you go to a bar, it makes you somebody that is just doing something that's going to destroy your life, and it's something that's going to hurt you, and it's also disobedience to God. And you need to understand, God said very strongly, drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what he said. That's what he meant. And folks, a question to ask, are you involved in homosexuality? Are you involved in lesbianism? Are you involved in these kind of things? Transgenderism? Are you involved in these things? You say, as a man, you feel like a woman? That is effeminate. Now, with society going the way it's going, no wonder everybody's accepting it. But God's word won't accept it, and God in his love is telling us. And he tells us there's a way to be changed. Now, first is the explanation of it. You get a new nature. If you don't have it, you don't have it. The second thing is you'll find that there'll be evidence of it. Just like their vital signs, there'll be signs you've got a new nature, you're born again. But then if you don't have the signs, here's the best thing you could possibly do for yourself. Understand, I have to get born again or I'll never get to heaven. I don't have the evidence I'm born again, and I'm not going to blow it off just because I grew up in this church. I'm going to fix it and do what I need to be born again. And so the first thing we talked about is explanation of being born again. Second thing we talked about is the evidence. But very quickly, in closing, I'm going to talk about experiencing new birth or how to be born again. Now, here's what Jesus said. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and here's what he said that you have to do to be born again. As he's talking to John, as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus in verse 3, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." And then he goes on and he says something explaining that in verse 14 through 16. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. For God so loved the world, not so hated the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So here's what he says. You've got to be born again. Here he says how you're born again. "As the serpent is lifted up, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then whosoever believed on him will be saved. Then God so loved his Son that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believed on him should not perish but have everlasting life." And here's what he's saying. The way to be born again is genuinely believe the John 3:14 way. He says, "As the Son of Man was lifted up, as the serpent was lifted up, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now, what's the John 3:14 way? Years ago, these people, the Israelites, they sinned against God, and there was a consequence. Their consequence was death. And though that death was through these snakes that went around, and he bit them, and the people that were bit by the snakes were poisoned with their venom, and then the death would come shortly after that. And so they prayed and said, "God, help." God said, "Moses, make a pole. Put a brass snake around that pole. And if anyone will look toward that brass snake, they'll be healed." And people had to go to great effort because there was only one brass snake and not everybody could see it where they lived or where they lodged. And so some had to be carried, some had to walk, some maybe because they were sick had to crawl. But they made the effort to go to the serpent and look. And here's what the idea was. It wasn't just they saw it. They had to put their trust in that. They did what Jesus told them to do, that God told them to look and trust in that serpent. And if they would look with faith, they would be healed. And you know what Jesus is saying? We're all bit. We're all bit. All of us have sinned. And we've got the venom of Satan in us. And the consequence of sin is death. You know what that means? Every one of us is going to hell. But just as the snake was lifted up and you look to that snake, the Son of Man's going to be lifted up. How? He's going to be lifted up on a cross. And on that cross, don't mock it. Don't mock it. On that cross, the Son of Man's going to be lifted up and he's going to lay down his life for us. He will save his people from their sin. And if you will put your faith in the Son of Man, Son of God, who is lifted up, and transfer your dependence to him. The Bible says his blood will clean us from our sin. The Bible says it will remove the venom. It'll remove what causes our eternal death. And if you look to Jesus, You will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. If you do not look to Jesus in faith, one, you'll never be changed genuinely. Two, you'll never have eternal life. The word believe really has this idea behind it. In essence, there are really two words that are important: repentance and faith. Now, here's repentance. Mark 1:15, repent and believe the gospel. You got to repent to truly believe it. Acts 20:21, testifying both to Jew and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith. You got to have repentance before you can have faith. And here's what repentance means. It means a change of mind. A change of mind. In one sense, it's like this. I used to believe because I'm a Methodist, because I'm a Catholic, because I'm a Baptist, because I'm baptized, because I'm good. I'm going to go to heaven when I die, if anybody will. And you have to change your mind and realize it's not by my works, it's by Jesus' death on the cross. Have you ever changed your mind? If I asked you, are you going to heaven, would you say you're a pretty good person? Well, then I'll go to heaven. How good are you? Have you ever sinned? Yes. The average person sins 3 times a day. You know what that means? 1,000 sins a year. I'm guilty of 52,000 sins. I'm 52. That means I'm on my way to hell unless I got a Savior lifted up on a cross that I look to. And you have to change your mind. And for some people, it's changing their mind toward Jesus like this. I didn't want anything to do with him, but now I do. And you can't say, Jesus is my wife's thing, Jesus is my parents' thing. I'm telling you what, college students, he has to be your thing or you will not get into the kingdom of heaven. Can't be some relative's thing. It has to be your thing. So you have to repent and then you believe the gospel. That means better you trust in what Jesus did is my only hope of salvation. And then you ask him to save your soul. Let's bow our heads. Now, either you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell, and God wants you and I to be born again so that we can go to heaven. Now, more serious than your physical birth is your spiritual birth. Now, 3 times, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. The physical birth and the spiritual birth. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So there it is, 3 times. So that we wouldn't miss it. And we wouldn't be deceived by the devil, and we could go to heaven. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many of you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven and the evidence is there to prove it? You think like a Christian, you change life like a Christian, you live like a Christian, you're not perfect when you sin, you feel horrible about it. You don't hate the things, you love the things of God, and you have the evidence that you're born again. Now, you're the one who judges. Judge discerningly. Now, as the pianist just softly plays, if you know that you've put your faith in Jesus and you have a changed life to prove it, would you slip up your hand if you're confident that you're born again? Not bragging, but if you can't raise your hand, don't you be embarrassed either. Please don't you be embarrassed. Thank you. You can all put your hands down. I saw several of you tonight that you couldn't raise your hand. This is not a trick. It's the devil who's trying to trick you. Be not deceived is what God says. Look out for him because he goes about seeking whom he may devour. I came that you might have life. Don't be deceived by that snake. Make sure you get born again. It'll change your life for good, for the good. It will be good. And then it will give you eternal life. What a wonderful thing. Now, who here this evening would say, I see it. Three times he said, you must be born again. And I want to go to heaven. And I may not understand it all, but I do know I'm glad I came. And I'm not too proud to admit that I don't know I'm born again, but I want to be. I don't want to just be religious. I want this to be the real thing. So I truly get to heaven instead of just feel good all the way to hell. I want to make sure I'm going to heaven. I don't know it, and I admit it. Don't feel bad if you don't know it. A lot of people don't know it, but that's what we're here for. What a wonderful day it would be if you get born again. Now, how many of you could say, I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I want to. I don't understand it all, but I want to be born again. I know there's something I'm missing, and I want it. If that's you, would you lift up your hand and put it right back down? God bless you. Here, there, here, there, here, there, here, there, here, there, there, and several. Is there anybody else? And we'll include you in a prayer. God bless you there. I'm not really sure it's real with me, and I don't want to miss it. I want to be born again. I need to be. I need to be. Because this is my heaven or hell forever. Anybody else? Don't let the devil deceive you. Anybody else? I need to be born again. All right. If you would like to be born again, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right where you sit. But I want to tell you before how to be born again right where you sit. And then I'll lead you in a prayer, and if you'd like to be born again, you pray this right where you're sitting. But let me challenge you to understand something. None of us ever get to heaven because we pray words. There has to be faith behind the words. And there has to be a desire to want Jesus. Now, it's as simple as ABC. If you want to be saved, you can be saved right where you're sitting. A, admit that you're a sinner. You are a sinner. Romans 3:23, all have sinned. That's you. That's me. We're all sinners. That's the serpent's venom. That's what brings the death. All right, B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You need to believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, not just other people, but for you. He has you in mind. And his death will save you from sin, the venom that leads to eternal death. His blood will clean you from it. The blood of Jesus cleansed us from all sin. A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe on Jesus. And C, call and ask him to save you. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if you believe that you're a sinner, and you're not too proud to admit that to God, he already knows. If you will believe that Jesus will save you from it by what he did on the cross, and he will, and then ask him to save you right where you're sitting from a sincere heart of wanting to give your life to Jesus and having him in your life, then you pray this prayer after me with sincerity of heart. There's no magic in the words. You've got to have faith as you pray the prayer. And you can pray it out loud. People do that sometimes. You could pray it silently. People do that sometimes. Now here's the prayer. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I don't deserve your love. But I believe that Jesus died for me. He died for me, my sin. I believe that. So Jesus, come into my heart and wash away my sins that I admit I have done. And save my soul. I am making you my Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, with our heads bowed just a second longer, if you just prayed that prayer where you're sitting and you meant it, as the pastor and I are watching, would you just lift up your hand and say, I just prayed that where I'm sitting and received Jesus and I meant it. If that's you, just lift up your hand. If you did, God bless you there. God bless you here. God bless you there. God bless you there. That's four. I just prayed that prayer. God bless you there. That's five. Anybody else? I just prayed that prayer. That's six. God bless you there. Anybody else? God bless you back there. That's seven. I just prayed that prayer and I meant it. All right, wonderful. Now, you seven that just prayed, if you will, with no one looking but me, would you mind lift your head and look at me for just a second if you meant that? Now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, then God had to save you. Because he said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you get that? Shall be, not might be. But if you leave here and you don't let somebody take a Bible and explain it to you just a little bit, I'm afraid you'll always doubt. And here's my question. Would you be willing to slip to the back and just talk to a counselor for 5 or 10 minutes and let them show you what you just did, give you literature on what you did and what to do next now that you have accepted Jesus? Would you be comfortable with that for about 5 or 10 minutes? If you're comfortable, we'll help you. If you'll go back, we'll help you. If you'll go back, we'll help you. Let's all stand to our feet, and I'm going to ask if anybody would like to be born again, slip out toward the back as Greg sings with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you just received Jesus, slip out, go toward the back, and we'll get somebody to take a Bible and show you what you did and give you verses of assurance. So as Greg sings, pastors at the back, you just slip out right now as he sings. Just slip out, go toward the back. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God bless you there. Just take that first step and the rest will be easy. Go see what you just did. Go see what you just did and learn about it. Just slip out, go toward the back. We'll get someone to help you. We don't force, we invite, but it will really be a good thing for you. Seven have raised their hand. I believe that one has walked back thus far. Anybody else? I just got saved in a minute. Just slip out. Go toward the back and show Jesus you meant it and learn. Learn what to do now. It'll be good for your soul. It'll be good for your soul. Just slip out. God bless you. God bless you. There are some others with our heads bowed. Christians, pray for others. You seven, if you meant that, it'll do good for your soul. God bless you there. We don't force, we invite, but we do plead. God bless you there. There's another. Greg, continue, if you don't mind. Just as I am and wait. God bless you there. God bless you there. Is there another? Pastor, if you'll come and close as you see fit. Now, as the pianist just softly plays and Pastor Paul is making his way, I tell you what, with our heads bowed, I want to ask one other question, and this is the end. How many of you would say, Brother Mike, I know I'm born again, but I'm not acting like it. And I want to start acting like what I am, a new creature in Christ. And if you say, I know I'm born again, but pray for me. I know I'm saved, but I'm not acting like it. And I want to start acting like what I am, a child of God. If that's you, would you lift up your hand? If you say, that's me, I'm a Christian. I'm just not acting like it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you there. God bless you there. Let's start changing that. Be who we are. We might as well act like a Christian because we won't enjoy not being right with God.